Osai, thanks for coming. We're going to study a little bit about Parshas Noach al pi Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rosh Hashiva, the Bir Yeshiva. Yes. And he has a beautiful essay here based on his critique, so to speak, of the Kli Yakar. So we'll study the Kli Yakar. I have three copies here of the Kli Yakar if you want to take one and pass it down. Harvey already has one copy, so it will be okay. Now I'll just read the pasuk to you, so you know what we're talking about here. At the end of Perek Vav of Sefer Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Noach to build a teva. Okay, that we know. And then it says the following: Ve'ata, and you, kach lecha. And the Kli Yakar is going to make a big deal about this seemingly superfluous extra word, lecha, kach lecha, mikol ma'achol asher ye'ochel, v'yasafta elecha. So you should gather together all the food that is edible, v'hoy lecha, once again the word lecha, it should be for you, and the word lecha here is a reference to the human beings in the teva, v'lahem, and to them, meaning for the animals, Li'achla.
So
that's Pasuk Chaf Aleph at the end of Perek Vav. So the Kli Yakar wants to call our attention to this word Lecha, and he writes the following: Lecha Masha Mishalcha. This is a classic interpretation of the word Lecha. And he's not quoting any specific statement of Chazal, but again, classically, whenever you see the word lecha, it means mishalcha, velo mishal acherim. Now, what does that mean, velo mishal acherim?
Nobody else's property.
What would that constitute if Noach would take into the teva other people's property? Yeah. Right. And one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach is gzela, is gezel or gneva. So the question here arises, and that's what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is going to focus. He's going to call our attention to: Is it really possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to warn Noach and emphasize that he shouldn't take other people's possessions? So if you take a look at the Kli Yakar, although he doesn't address this question head on, but by implication he does answer this question. First of all, he says, where do we find this concept of lachem? And the Torah says it's got to be from your own. We find it with regard to the mitzvah of dalad minim on sukkos. Right? The Torah says you can't take someone else's lulav. That would be a lulav hagazel, and that's possible. It's got to be your own. But now the Kli Yakar explains what was the havam, you know, why would Noach think of taking someone else's possessions?
Well, there's nobody else around, that's why.
Well, the world is populated. Again, it's not going to be populated for long, but right now it hasn't started raining yet, right? He says, Kedeshalo Yachshov Noach. Why did the Torah emphasize this? Noach shouldn't entertain the following concept. Hare Hayom, today it's going to rain. And what's going to happen today, or machar, or tomorrow? Yamusu kulam, they're all going to die. Umamonam kala, and all their possessions will be completely wiped off the face of the earth. Yisalka daitachamina, I might think in such a case that either today or tomorrow, all these possessions are going to be destroyed together with the people that own them. Is mutar likach mishalahem? In such a case, I'm allowed to take their possessions. They have no use for it. They're not going to last for another day. Talmud lomar. Therefore, the Torah says no. Kach lecha mishalcha dafka. It's got to be yours. Now, at this point, we can press the return button. And this is a new paragraph. Again, it doesn't appear so in the text, but I think we can take that, let's say, license to start a new paragraph. And at this point, the Kli Yakar wants to embellish this idea of Shalcha. The fact that it's got to be yours Noach. That's very important. Why? Lahagdil hanes. This expands the great miracle. Sha'af al pisha kfi ha-teva lo yaspik. How much did Noach actually have? What was the volume or the extent of his possessions? Did he have enough food to last for a full year? But the answer is, even though he has only enough, ki im lechol levad, if he's only allowed to take into the teva that which is his, says the Kli Yoker, that's a very limited volume of food, and therefore the ness is even greater. Because what's Hashem going to do in this case? Noach can only bring in X amount, a limited volume of food. Yishlach Hashem es habracha. God is going to send down a blessing from Shemayim, biyasmecha, in your food. Vayolecha v'lohem liochlan, you'll have enough for both you and for the animals to feed them.
Wow.
So again, b'derech hateva, according to the laws of nature, not that anything was going on according to the laws of nature at that point, but tachil oso levadcha, there's not even enough food there to last for you, let alone your family, let alone all the animals inside the tape. But al tzad ha-nes, but somehow Hashem will bring about a miracle. He gives examples of animals that I get eat a lot, great value, volume of food, and even then there's going to be enough because of this miracle. So let's take a look now at Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, which you'll see here in Sichot Musar. Here it appears as Mamar Vav, Avat HaBriot. And in the first paragraph, he summarizes the first understanding and presentation of the Kli Yoker, that Noah could have thought, well, these people are going to die anyway, and the possessions will be destroyed, why can't I take from them? And the Torah wants to say, no, kach lecha mishalcha dafka, you can only take from yours. He says the following: it's very difficult to begin to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to add this tzivui, this command of kach lecha, lafkia, so that Noach wouldn't think that he could be more heter, he can find a license and permit himself to take from other people's possessions. Because how would Noach steal from others? The Torah describes Noach as ish,
Tzadik,
he was tzadik. Tomim hoya b'dorosov. Are you going to tell me that after, as the Gemara establishes in Sanhedrin, the prohibition against Gezel was given to Adam already, so the Bnei Noach already were commanded and enjoined from stealing other people's possessions, and Noach is a tzadik tamim, he is chashud, you suspect him that he might steal from others? It doesn't make sense, especially in the light of the fact that why was the Dor HaMabul decreed to die? Why would they be destroyed? Right, lo nigzor gzera ela ala gezel, it says ala chamas. And Noach now is going to be suspect of gzela? In other words, even though you can be mafalpel, with all sorts of didactics, come up with a permission, a permissive approach here, but it's still at the end of the day is gezel. You can't take a person's possessions and say, well, tomorrow you're going to die, or tomorrow your possessions will be destroyed, right?
Hefker. That's what it means, hefker.
Right, but even right now they're not hefker. So Harvey, how could Noach have justified in his mind taking something that's not yet hefker? If I know, for example, that tomorrow your possessions are going to be hefker, I can't steal them today. Chas v'shalom, that would be an isa gezel. But he says even more than that. It's impossible to accept the Kli Yoker's first approach, that there was a havamina to say that tomorrow they're going to die. And that was what Noach was thinking. Because Chazal tell us on the Pasuk, Vayovo Noach, again this is in the same section, just a little bit further, in Perek Zion, Pasuk Zion, it says that after the waters started coming down from the heavens, it says, Vayovo Noach ubono v'ishto, etc. El ateva mipnei me'amavol. Rashi says, Mipnei me'amabul, the waters were already coming down. It was, you know, it was a tremendous downpour. And then Noach goes into the Teva. Before that, he didn't go into the Teva. Why? So you may remember the famous Rashi. I'm reading it from the Rashi. Rashi says, Noach mikatne amuna hoya, which literally translates that he didn't have real faith. He was mamin, he had faith that the mamel would come, but v'eino mamin. But really, he had doubts about it. Sheyovi amapel. V'lo nichnas l'teva, at what point does Noach enter into the teva? Kishedachu amayim, when the waters pushed him into the teva. Meaning, it was the last moment, the 11th hour, he had no choice. That's when he went in. But the whole time he was thinking, there's not really going to be a mamel. The whole thing is a bluff. So Reb Chaim Shalevitz says, what does Rashi mean over here? That Noach didn't have emunah. The Torah says about Noach, Noach ish tzadik tamim ayob bedorosov, es elokim is halach Noach. Noach is a tzadik. If he's a tzadik, it means he's righteous in every mitzvah, certainly in the mitzvah of emunah. How can you tell me that Noach didn't have faith? The answer is, you have to interpret Rashi in a slightly different light. What Rashi means is, that true, Noach had absolute faith in God, but at the same time, he believed that God was compassionate. And if God is compassionate, and God has told him, you know, build a teva over the course of a long period of time, it means that God was himself postponing the mavel, hoping that what?
They would do tshuva.
That people would do tshuva. So he says, therefore, Noach, in the light of his understanding, his perception of God as the God of compassion, who's waiting for man to do tshuva, he thought, even though right now they're chayev, they deserve this decree to be destroyed, but nevertheless, he felt that there's a belief in man, and that God in his compassion would at the end of the day stave off this decree, and he would not bring about the mabul. And not only that, it says in Rashi, on the pasuk Vayehi Geshem al Haaretz, that even HaKadosh Baruch himself was delaying the mavel until the very, very last moment. Shema yachzur ben, because maybe they'll do tshuva. And here, he quotes Rashi. Rashi says, Kshehoridon, horidon berachamim. When the waters started coming down from the heavens, they came down slowly, compassionately. Why? Because Hashem was thinking, im yachzur b'hem, if they'll repent, then you, Gishmei Bracha, those very same rains will bring about a blessing to the earth. However, lo chazru, they didn't do tshuvas, nepach ha-geshem l'mabul, then the waters were converted into a flood. So we see that both Hashem himself and Noach were waiting and hoping and anticipating that man would do tshuva, and at the end of the day there wouldn't be a mabul. So when Rashi says that Noach was mikatne amuna hoya, it means in this balance between his total faith in the divine decree that there would be a mabul, and in his faith that compassionate God is waiting and waning, and man may possibly at the end of the day do tshuva, therefore Noach waited until the last moment until he entered into the teva. And the Reb Chaim Shalevitz, four lines up from the bottom of your right column, he says, Chazal hikiru beruach kodsham shahoya mu'ura b'kach pagam dak be'emuna. That the reason why Chazal were critical of Noach is not because of the surface level sin of Noach. Noach did not sin. Noach was guiltless. He really believed that at the end of the day the mabul would not take place. But apparently, b'pagam dak, if you... Chazal understood in the very subtleties and the depths of his heart, Noach had had a little bit of doubt. And for that, they took him to task. But the bottom line is that Noach certainly would not be guilty of Gezel. Noach was hoping that the people would do tshuva. Noach did not think that tomorrow they'll be wiped out and all their possessions will be destroyed. How can you therefore say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to add the word lachem or lacha, lafuke, to tell you don't steal from their possessions? Noach would have stolen from their possessions. Now if you take a look on the left column, now he fast forwards to the second paragraph of the Kli Yakar. And you may remember that in the second paragraph, the purpose of this command that Noach take his own food was lahagdil hanes, in order to expand the miracle. Because b'derech hateva, according to the laws of nature, there's not enough food here. If we took in all the food that Noah possibly had, that wouldn't feed all the human beings and all the animals that were inside the teva. And it would seem that what the Kli Yakar is saying is that in truth, this is not called gezel. This is not really stealing, because Hashem said that, or at least in the Havamina, Hashem was saying that Noach, you know what, take as much food as you possibly can into the teva, and even if it means that you'd have to steal from others, take it into the teva, it still is going to be a great miracle. Lo yitachen lomar kim, but that's impossible, he says. The vadai certainly al pidin gezel gomer hu, there's no question that there's nothing to permit stealing from others, and even if it means that at the end of the day they'll die, still right now they're alive. And therefore, what we're going to have to say, according to the Kli Yakar, is that the tzivui of kach lecha mishalcha means that even if others would give you permission to take food, their food, into the teva, they would say, here, you know what, take this bushel of apples into the teva. Noach would not be allowed to take that in. Hashem wanted deliberately that the volume of food in the teva be limited, and that would intensify and embellish the miracle that such a small, limited amount of volume of food would nevertheless last them for the entire period that they were in the teva. So therefore, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz wants to give another explanation to the word lecha. Why is it that Hashem commanded Noach to take of his own possessions? And we're going to get the answer to that question if you just want to see on the other side at the very end of this essay. So now we're going to go on a long excursion, if you will, that seems to be a digression, and then we're going to come back with a gewaltige yesod, an unbelievable new principle that's going to explain why Hashem wanted Noach to take from his own possessions. There's a famous story that is recorded in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, about the guy who came to both Shammai and Hillel, and he said, I'm going to be standing on one foot, teach me the entire Torah. Shammai threw him out and said, this guy is being facetious, he's not serious. And Hillel, if you recall, taught him that there's one mitzvah that I can teach you while you're standing on one foot, and that is v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, d'olecha sani l'chavrcha lo sa'ovid, that which is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. Zui kol ha-Torah kula, that's the entire Torah. V'idach, and the rest of the Torah, pirushahu, is just an embellishment, it's just a commentary on that. Zil gemar, just learn this one principle, and you have the entire Torah. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rosh Hashiva, wants to know, what is this all about? What is this whole idea that the guy comes to be Mizgayer and he wants to stand on one foot and he'll give him one principle that's an overriding principle? The whole thing doesn't seem to make that much sense. So the Rosh Hashiva presents a whole new thesis based on the last Agadah to Masechta Makis, which took the Taryag, the number 613, and reduced it stage by stage, step by step. For example, David HaMelech reduced it to 11, Yeshayahu to 6, Micha to 3. And then at the end, Chavakuk, at the end of the history of Nevuah, comes along, Vemidon al-Achas, meaning from the 613, just take one. And what's that one? And that is the fear of Hashem. V'tzadik b'emunaso yichye, that the tzadik has to believe, and with that faith in Hashem, that's where he gets the tarayag mitzvahs. So Rashi explains, mitchila, back in the old days, when there were 613 mitzvahs, all you tzadikim, they were on a very high level. It was very easy for them to receive the weight and the responsibility of a full 613. But as the generations grew a little bit, shall we say, smaller in terms of their saintliness, they couldn't accept the weight of 613 mitzvahs. So the number had to be reduced. Says Rav Chaim, I don't understand. Is Rashi telling me that as the generations went on, and David came to the scene, and then Yeshaya and Micha, and then finally Habakkuk, does it mean there was no longer 613 mitzvahs? What does that mean? How can you reduce the number of mitzvahs? There are 613, and that's forevermore. That's eternal. Ella, but rather says Rav Chaim, what the Chazal are teaching us, that what are the 613 mitzvahs? They are really essentially 613 principles. They're the roots of the Torah. Every single mitzvah is a shoresh, represents the root of the Torah. And basically, from each mitzvah, since you could derive its root and its principle, you could derive the entire Torah. Is there anyone here in this room that recites a Yehi Ratzon before he does a mitzvah? You'll see it published in some of the Siddurim.
Yes, I've seen them in the Siddurim.
Yeah, it's based on Hasidus. And there it says that we ask Hashem to consider Tehashuva mitzvah zu ki ilu ki amtia bechol pratev dikduke v'tayag mitzvah hatluyim ba. That God, you should accept this mitzvah as if I fulfilled all 613. How do you make any sense out of that? You're doing one mitzvah, you're putting on tefillin. So now you're saying Yiratzon, that Hashem should accept it as if you did all the 613. But the answer is that each one of the mitzvahs really has within it inherent, in a kind of microcosmic way, the entire constellation of the 613. When they would tzaddikim, then they could take each one of the 613 separately and derive its shoresh. But later on, when Iskatnu Adoros, they weren't as great, they weren't able to understand all the 613. So David said to them, you know what? I'm going to give you a sampling of 11 mitzvahs, study those mitzvahs, and from those mitzvahs you'll understand all the 613. Yeshaya came and he reduced it to two, and so forth, so until Habakkuk reduced it to one. And basically what was Habakkuk telling us? If you accept the mitzvah of Emunah B'Hashem, then you'll understand through Emunah B'Hashem the fundamental root of all 613. And if you'll commit yourself to this particular mitzvah, then through this mitzvah you'll be able to understand all the other mitzvahs. That's why the Ritva, in his commentary in Maseth Makis, he says, "Bocha Vakuk ve'midon al achas shamakayim osa makayim kol haTorah kula shekoleles es kol haTorah kula." That from one mitzvah you can derive all the mitzvahs. So we don't have the ability to study each one of the 613. We're in the state in the historical period of Niskatnu Adoros, and therefore we're going to take one principle, and through that one principle, if we study it and we're committed to it full, you know, heart and soul, we're going to be able to appreciate all the mitzvahs. And if that be the case, now we understand the guy. The guy came to Hillel and Shammai, and he says, please teach me one root of the Torah. And from that root, I will be able to understand and comprehend the entire Torah. And that's what this guy wanted to do, very similar to what Habakkuk did for his generation, Vitzadik ben Munoso Yichya, that he reduced the entire Torah to one root, to one principle. I always thought that the Torah should be reduced to 10 principles. Which 10 do I have in mind?
The 10
Aseres Adibros. Yeah, I thought the Aseres Adibros would be an excellent example of 10 Klolim, of 10 Shroshim. But he says that the guy wanted one Shoresh, one fundamental principle. And therefore, Hillel taught him, and here we turn to the next page, that the Shoresh, the root that he should be studying, this guy, is the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, love thy friend. And that's the Shoresh, that's the root, here we're turning to the next audio page, of Kol HaTorah Kula, of all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, the question is obvious, but the Ahavta L'Reach Kamocha only really touches on half the Torah. Which half? Bein Adam L'Makom. How does it give me Bein Adam L'Chavero? I'm sorry, how does it give me Bein Adam L'Makom? It only gives me Bein Adam L'Chavero. That's what I meant to say. So if you take a look at Rashi there, Masechta Shabbos, Rashi says that Avas Hashem, is the love for God, is also included in V'Ahavta L'Reach Kamocha. Why? So Rashi quotes a Poskim Mishlei to prove that the word Re'acha, which literally translates as your friend, is a reference to God, to your Father in Heaven, who has a love for you that makes him into Re'acha, he makes him into your best buddy, your best friend. So if you love your friend, it means you love God and you love your human friend. And that's the shoresh of all the mitzvahs of Torah. All the mitzvahs depend upon that one root of love thy fellow man, love God, he's your best friend. And v'idach pirusha zil gmar. Now go ahead and understand the other 612 mitzvahs you can derive from this root, from this shoresh. Oh. Now, Reb Chaim wants to know the following. Haderech shal yoda yagia ha'odom li'avas Hashem yisbarach li'avas chavero. How does a person achieve this goal of arriving at love for God and love for fellow man? So he's going to start first with love for God. On the pasuk li'ohavai u'lishomrei mitzvosai, which is in Shmos Perek Chof, the Mechilta comments in the name of Nosson, li'ohavai u'lishomrei mitzvosai eluem sheyoshvim bi'eretz Yisrael v'nosnim nafshom ala mitzvos. Wow. We're talking about someone who's willing to give up his whole life for the sake of a mitzvah. This is what we call Mesiris Nefesh. And the Mechilta goes on to describe, you know, that black, so to speak, that black ink spot of Jewish history, which we know of, all the persecution against the Jews. Malacha Yotze Lihareg. Why is a Jew willing to go out and be killed? And the answer is, Al Shamalti Es Bni. I defied the decree of the Goyim, and I circumcised my son. Malacha Yotze Lisarif. Somebody is taken out to be burnt at the stake. Al Shekarasi Batorah, because I continued to study Torah. Malacha Yotze Litzolev, Jews that were crucified. Al Shachalti as HaMatzah, even for the mitzvah of Matzah, because you know that during a Shas HaShmad, how would you translate Shas HaShmad?
Persecution.
Right, of religious persecution. When the Goyim want to undermine our religion, then the law is that we give up a life even for what's called a mitzvah kala, even for a regular, you know, rank and file mitzvah like matzah. And then, and this is the key which I'd love you to underline, the Mechilta says something unbelievable. Hamakos halolu garmuli lehov li'ovi shebashamayim. If anybody needs a pen, you can borrow my pen, I just need it back. And he says that all these makos, you know, all the suffering caused me, again, me is a pseudonym for the people of Israel, to love my Father in Heaven. What does that mean? We would say the following: if a person loves God, then out of a sense of love of God, he's willing to give up his life. But here, the Mechilta is switching around the order. It's as we say in Yiddish, pukfaket, everything is just the opposite, lehepach. If we give up our lives, then we're going to come to Avas Hashem. Hamakos ha'elu garmuli, the suffering and the mesiris nefesh is what causes lehov li'ovi shevashamayim. And when the pasuk says v'ahavta Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, even though on the simple level it means that once you have Avas Hashem, you'll be willing and obligated to give up your life for Kiddush Hashem. But what's also included in the meaning of this pasuk is that if he gives up his life through the Mesiris Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem, he will come to Avas Hashem. Giving up his life will bring him to the Madrega of Avas Hashem. And if that be the case, then we can flip it around and apply that to Bein Adam L'Chavero as well. How does a person achieve Avas Re'acha? And the answer is based on a brisa, Masechta Derech Eretz, Im chafetz atoli dovek bi avas chavercha. If you want to know how to achieve the love for your fellow Jew, have no save and no sein b'tovaso. Do whatever you can for his benefit. You want to make yourself into an oev and fulfill the aftalerech kamocha? Then do whatever you can to give him and bestow upon him good and chesed and kindness and tova. And that is the way in which you will become his beloved. In other words, there's a fundamental mistake here. People think that if you love someone, then you do good for him. You bestow upon him goodness and kindness. No! Again, punkfak, it's just the opposite. If he does good for his friend, then he comes to love him. And this is the basic principle of the Orchas Tzadikim, who says, Haderech le'yosas o'avo shel chaver. If you want to know how to become a beloved of your friend, to love your friend, yishtadol le'etiv imo, be'megufo be'memono, do your best, your maximum, to do good for him, whether it's physically, whether it's with your possessions. And basically what Rav Chaim Shulevitz is presenting to us is a mirror image here between Avas Hashem and Avas Reacha. Just like in Avas Hashem, we saw in the Mechilta that how do you come to Avas Hashem? It's by being willing to be Moser Nefesh, give up your life for Hashem. That's what generates the Ava. So too, if you're willing to give to your friend, to your Reacha, that's going to generate the Ava. And he quotes a Yalkut that says, Yosu Mimashe Balabais Osema Ani Ani Osema Balabais. What favor is the poor person doing for the wealthy person when he presents his, you know, he puts out his hand and he asks for a handout? The answer is because he's allowing the usher, the rich person, to give him tzedakah, and by giving tzedakah, the usher now comes to love the ani. Interesting. That's the goal of the mitzvah of tzedakah and all of chesed, is to come to love someone. And that's why the Mishnah says at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, Hillel Omer, Hevi mi talmidav shel Aaron HaKohen. Now watch this language here. Oev shalom, rodev shalom, oev es habrios u'makarvan l'Torah. Look at the juxtaposition here, the phrase oev es habrios, you know, to love your fellow man, that comes at the very end, after number one, oev shalom, and number two, rodev shalom. What's the sequence of? He starts with Oev Shalom, then he gets to Rodev Shalom, and finally he gets to Oev Habrios. And the answer is that Mitoch Sha'avas Habrios Bo Eres Bekirbo Shemachmasa Hu Oev Shalom. He has this potential for loving his fellow man, and that's why he's an Oev Shalom, because he realizes that he wants to love man, and if he seeks out, he pursues peace and harmony, and he's Rodev Shalom, he really pursues it, and then as a result of the Oev Shalom and Rodev Shalom, he ends up with Oev Es Habrios on a whole new level. So his first level of Oev Es Habrios was very limited, and now he gets to the more intense level of Oev Es Habrios. Can I... You didn't get a handout?
Sure.
But you have this here. It's not, what do you say?
It's the same.
It's the same, yeah. But you have to flip the page here. No, not that way, but this way. You have to flip the page here. Now I myself am getting confused. Got Dalit.
Got Dalit.
Oh, here it is, Chafdalet. Okay. So this is the paragraph that we're studying now. So again, the chiddush here is that how does he arrive at the level of Avas Habrios? It's because he's Odev Shalom, Verodev Shalom. And now we get back to Noach. Noach becomes the paradigm of what we call someone who's willing to give everything and sacrifice everything for the others, for other creatures. Why? Because the Tanchuma tells us that Noach was Moser Nefesh for a full year to support all the creatures in the Teva. Amrab Levi, moving on to page Chaf Hei, Kol Osan Yud Beis Chodesh, during that entire period of 12 months, Lo Tam Tam Shena. Noach really couldn't sleep. Maybe he slept a little bit, but just a little here and a little bit there. And why is that? Because Hayuzkukim Lozunas Abeimov Esachai Vesophos. They are preoccupied day and night with feeding the animals and the birds. There were some animals that had to eat after 2 hours into the night. Some had to eat in the third hour into the night. It wasn't like you could feed all the animals, you know, at midnight, and then they would all go to sleep for the night, you know, full and satiated. No, each animal had a different hour, so Noah could really chop a regular sleep, a shluff. And Rabbi Yochanan makes a statement that it went even further than that. Once he was feeding the lion, and the lion got very impatient till the food came, and he kisho, and the lion actually bit him. V'yotza tzoleh, and as a result, Noach was a hinkadinker, we call it in Yiddish, a lame person. Shenemar v'yishar ach Noach, and Rashi says, what's ach Noach? I mean, only Noach was, you know, only his life itself, that's all he could cling to was his life. He was goneach, he was constantly in agony, v'choed dam, literally it means he spit forth blood, mitorach ha-behemos v'chayis, because of his dedication to the animals. And therefore, in fact, the Torah tells Noach, Hashem tells Noach, if he comes out of the Teva, that in the Zchus, in the merit of the fact that he took such care and dedicated himself to feed the animals, he's allowed now to eat the flesh of the animals. Before the Teva, he wasn't allowed to eat the flesh of the animals. And the Pasuk which is quoted is a Pasuk in Tilm, Yigia Kapecha Ki Tochal. This Yigia, this. So Noach loves the brios. And why does he love the brios? Because he sacrifices so much day and night to take care of them, to give to them, to sustain them and feed them. And maybe now, says Reb Chaim Shlevitz, we can shed a new light on why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Noah, kach lecha mishalcha. Not that Noah chas v'shalom had any havamina that he would steal from other people's possessions. That was never an idea that crossed his mind. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to tell him the following. You know what? And we're going now with the second approach in interpreting the Kli Yoker. Even if others would want to give you from their food to take into the Teva, don't. Don't take it from them. Don't receive anything from them. Everything has to come from you. Why? Because in order to engender your level of Ava, of love, you need Mesiris Nefesh. And Mesiris Nefesh means to give of your own self and your own possessions. And therefore, in order to create this level of Oeves Abrios, which Noach achieved, the only way he could do it is if he worked so hard for the benefit of the other creatures, of the animals. B'mida ko gedola, Kiderech Sha'amel Noach, a tremendous amount of work and sweat and toil for the benefit of the animals. And therefore, Noach had to take all his possessions and be willing to share them with the animals in the Teva. V'yitein lahem kol ashalo. If Noach will give all that's his, that's how he's going to create, he's going to get to that stage of being an Oavam, of being a true lover of the brios. And with that level of Ava, Noach was able to achieve that level of Mesiris Nefesh for an entire year to guarantee that he would supply them with all their needs. So let's go on in the few minutes that we have to V'Noach Motzah Chen. I don't know if you have that. It should say Maimer Dalet. The pasuk at the end of Parshas Bereishis tells us that although Hashem had decided to destroy the entire world, there was one exception, and that was Noah. And what was the reason why Noah was singled out to be saved and spared from the Mabul? You and I would think because of the great mitzvos he did, because he was a tzaddik. No. Look what the Torah says. If you're very careful about it, the Torah says, "V'noach matzachen b'enei Hashem." Right? Those are the last, if I remember correctly, the last few words in Parshas Bereishis that we read.
Yes.
Okay. "V'noach matzachen b'enei Hashem." So, Reb Chaim Shulevitz in this presentation wants to know what is mitzius chen. you know, he found favor in the eyes of God. What does it mean to find favor? And why is that so significant? And that's the reason the Torah singles out for Hashem sparing Noah. Rashi makes a comment. I'm sorry, this is actually a comment in the Medrash. Afilu Noach shenishtayr mehen lo hoya kedai. With all the great righteousness of Noach, that was not enough to justify Hashem's decision to spare Noach from the marble. Noach would nevertheless be swept away by the marble. Elo, but why was Noach spared? Shematza chen b'enei Hashem. That's what it says. And we see again how great is this attribute of Metzias chen b'enei Hashem. If not for the Metzias chen b'enei Hashem of Noach, he would have been swept along with the rest of the earth, totally destroyed with the Dor HaMabul. The fact that he had any other merits would not have been sufficient. He needed desperately to be Motzi Chen B'Enei Hashem. Says Rav Chaim, is this the only example that we find in Tanakh of the concept of Metzius Chen? No. By Moshe Rabbeinu we find it. Moshe Rabbeinu comes forward to Hashem in Parshas Ki Tisa. This is, if you remember, the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel. And Moshe says to Hashem, I want to see and perceive you, God, you know, your greatness. Hodieni na estrochecha. Tell me something about your essence.
Your ways.
Ve'edacha. And I will know you. And in his introduction, this supplication of Moshe Rabbeinu says, Imna matzasi chen beinecha. Rashi says, why the emphasis on Metzius chen? Laman akir kama schar Metzias chen. I want to understand how great is the reward for someone who's motzi chen, who finds favor in the eyes of the God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe was, Gam es hadover hazeh shedibarta eseh, I will answer in the positive. Why? Ki matzasa chen b'enai ve'idacha b'shem. Again, because you have achieved this level of metzius chen. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he pleaded to God ve'idacha b'shem, he had no merits, he had no meisim and no mitzvahs. The only thing he could come forward with on his own behalf was Imna Matzasi Chen Beinecha, and when Hashem grants him his wish, it's only because Matzasa Chen Beinai. All the other schuyot, as we would say, don't calculate, don't amount to anything. It's only Metzius Chen. So we see once again how critical, how central is this concept of Metzius Chen, that a person can be Zoche to get close to Hashem, to the chesed of Hashem. Hashem will protect him in the case of Noach. Hashem spares Noach all his protection because Noach Motzachen B'enei Hashem. So in order to understand and appreciate what this concept of Metzius Chen is, we'll start with a pasuk in Koheles, which we read just less than a week ago. And it says there, V'gam lo liyodim chen. Now, keep in mind that Shlomo HaMelech is the wisest of all persons, right? He's the Chacham Mikol Adam. And as far as Chacham is concerned, he doesn't mention that that's the way he's going to achieve his greatness. He says, Yodim Chen. If there's any way that I can achieve my greatness, it's through Umatzasa Chen, through Chen, this word Chen. And basically, if we want to find out how a person could achieve chen and therefore achieve divine protection and salvation, as in the case of Noach, or knowledge of God in the case of Moshe, where do we find chen? What are the ways in which a person could achieve this level of limtzo chen b'enei Hashem? So the Rosh Yeshiva postulates two methods, two roads that'll lead to Metzias Chen. One is called Anova, which means Midos Tovus, a person is humble, humility, and the other one is Torah. In the case of Anova, Shlomo Melch says in Mishlei, Ula Anovim Yitain Chen. For the humble, God gives Chen. In other words, they find Chen Viena. But through the study of Torah,
we can achieve what Shlomo HaMelech writes, Ayalas, Ayalas Ahavim V'yalas Chen. So he says the following. We find that the way to save a person's life and protect him when he's in danger is through the Midah of Anova and through the study of Torah. How do we find that? How do we prove that? The Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, in the name of Elazar, Li'olam havikabel v'kayam. Kayam means to survive. What does kabel mean? So Rashi says that the word kabel is a lashon ofel. Ofel means he's low. He is humble. Havi anov, if you'll be humble, v'tichya, then Hashem will protect you and you will survive. The anova, the midah of humility, is what saves a person's life. And therefore, if Noach is protected and saved because Noach matzachen b'ni Hashem, then according to this thesis, Noach must have been involved in the midah of what? He must have expressed or personified the midah of what? Anova, of humility. And that's what Reb Chaim Shalevitz is going to try to prove, that Noach is a paradigm of humility. We can already sense where he's taking us with this. In any event, the Gemara says in Brachos, V'chanosias Asharchon, Afal Pi She'eno Hogwin. And Rav Zeris says that, what does it mean, V'chanosias Asharchon, I will have compassion, God says, on someone who's not really Roy, he's not really suited for that, he hasn't lived up to that level. And the answer is, because Beis Ofel Ein Poschim Bo Chalonos Liros Nigo. In other words, a person has a Nega Tzoras, and really, we can declare him as a Mitzora, but we're not going to do so. Why? Afal Pishi Yeshbo Nega Mo Elis Lo Afe Loso, because of this word Ofel, Bias Ofel. You remember that the word Ofel means Onov. And therefore, Lo Yistaklu Bo, we will not look and investigate this person and see in his body the tofa'a, you know, the phenomenon of tzoras. Why? Because he's an anav. Even though he might be a chote, and he's guilty, but nevertheless he's an anav. And that's what the Gemara means in Sota. And here I want you to turn to the next page, which should say you dalit on it. That on the pasuk, Vayomru Anshei Ha'ir El Elisha, Hineinu Moshav Ha'ir Hatov Asher Adoni Ro'eh, pasuk in Melachim, V'chimi Acher, Me'acher de Mayim Ron v'Eris Mashkeles Alamato Vaso Omar Av Chanin Chain Mokom Al Yoshvav. Chain means someone who has this midah, this attribute of humility, Hashem will protect him. And the Ofel in the case of the Mitzorah, Hashem will protect him and he's saved from becoming a Mitzorah. And the people in the city told Elisha that we will gain divine protection. Torah as well. The Gemara Ksuba says, Reish Lakish, Michrach Bahu, Bebalei Rasan V'Asak B'Torah. Unbelievable. Reish Lakish would study Torah even with people who had contagious diseases. This reminds me of in our time, the Ish Tzaddik, what's his name? Rabbi Levin. You remember Rabbi Levin used to teach lepers Torah. And Hashem says, if you're teaching Torah, then Ayeles Ahavim V'Yalas Chen, you have found favor in my eyes, and therefore Igune, I will protect you. Rashi says, Kevin Shoya Nidbak Etzlon B'Shosh Osik B'Torah, even though he had a close contact with them when he taught them Torah, nevertheless Muvtach, they were guaranteed Shetogin HaTorah Olav, that the Torah would protect them V'lo Yuzak, and therefore Ish Lakish was not endangered, and he didn't contract this contagious disease called Rasan. Now, you might say, well, this was a special miracle. No, this is not a miracle. This means that the power of Torah, that's the way Hashem created the universe, that the power of Torah and teaching Torah is such that it's malas chen, that a person becomes motza chen v'eni Hashem, he finds grace in the eyes of God. And that's the power to protect a person against what normally would be harmful to him. So this is mitzius chen v'eni Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu has both attributes of in order to achieve Metzias Chayim. Number one, in terms of Anova, how do we describe Moshe? He's the Ana of Mikol Adam, right? And in terms of Torah, he's the Moser HaTorah. He's the one who receives the Torah and transmits it. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, these two attributes we find in Noach. Noach has both. And therefore he's Motzei Chen Beinei Hashem. Well, what does it mean Noach has both Anova and Torah? How do we know this? So it says, Noach Ish Tzadik Tomim. Chazal say, Tomim b'drachav tzadik b'maisav. Says Rashi, what does that mean? It's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. What does it mean when the Gemara says that he is Tomim b'drachav v'tzadik b'maisav? Rashi says, Tomim b'drachav anav v'shfal ruach. Noach personifies humility. Now, if I wanted to find, you know, some remez in the story of Noach that he is the humble person, what would you say based on what we discussed before? What does Noach dedicate himself to with Mesiras Nefesh, the entire year that he's in the Teva?
Feeding animals.
Feeding the animals. You know, he cares for the other. You know, that care for the other is indicative of his anava. He doesn't want to take for himself. He could have said, you know, I have to preoccupy myself with myself because I'm the great Noach, I'm the great human being, and so forth and so on. No. He's anava and Torah. Now, where do we see any connection between Noach and Torah? Was Noach the great scholar? And the answer is unbelievable. He says, Mikol ha-behemos ha-tohoros tikach lecha. Hashem commands Noach to take from the kosher animals. Says Rashi ha-tohora. I mean, how do we know which animals are kosher and which are not? Ha-sido li'os tohora li'Yisrael. V'lamadnu, we derive from this, shalomad Noach Torah. That Noach was already studying Torah. Again, I don't know who his teacher was. That's not clear. Maybe he was, you know, maybe his son Shem had already established some sort of yeshiva and he studied his son's yeshiva. I don't know. But it comes out, we're on the top now page, Tesvav, and with this we're going to wrap it up. It says that Noach had this tremendous midah of Anova and this midah of Torah, and it got him to the point of Ayala Sahovim to be Malachain Beni Hashem, and as a result that he was Matzachain Beni Hashem, Hashem spared him. Now this Anova is really what we call Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is another way of saying Midos Tovos. And Noach personifies Midos Tovos. And the Mishnah says that without Midos Tovos, without Derech Eretz, there's no Torah. And without Torah, there's no Derech Eretz. So Rav Chaim Shulevitz wants to explain, what does it mean that without Torah there's no Derech Eretz? He says that Derech Eretz only goes so far. Human morality only requires you to go until a certain point. But the Torah has a higher level of morality, an ethical system that's even more demanding than the human rational understanding of what ethics is all about. There's a new kind of Derech Eretz which can only be derived from Torah. And the extent to which Noach was Moser Nefesh with his Midah Hanova is a Derech Eretz that goes beyond human logic, beyond rational thinking. And it's based on the fact that Noach knew Torah. And not only that, you could flip it around. And you could say an Ein Derech Eretz, Ein Torah, which means unless you have if you don't have the Derech Eretz on the highest level, you only have a low level, basic level of Derech Eretz, it means Ein Torah, it means you didn't study Torah. And Noach has both. Now, where do we find an expression of Noach's Derech Eretz? And here is an unbelievable statement. Chazal tell us at the beginning of Bereishis Rabbah, Tzemen Ateva, that Noach waited until he got the command from Hashem to leave the Teva. Now imagine what's going on over here. Noach says, Lo nichnasti l'teva el brishus. I only entered into the Teva when Hashem told me to do so. Kach, so too. And Yotze, I'm not going to go out of the Teva el brishus. Now, let's imagine the situation of Noach. He is suffering in the Teva. The pasuk on Vayishar Yachnoch, we saw already the Rashi says that he was in agony and he was spitting blood because of all that he did for the animals. And the Tanchuma said that he was limping because the lion bit at his leg. And Rabbi Levi says in the Medrash Rabbah that for 12 months Noach was not able to sleep because each animal had to be fed at a different hour and he had to be constantly feeding the animals. Now, what happens? Kvar Yovsha Haaretz, the globe, the earth is dry. Yachal Haya Noach, Lotzeis, Noach certainly could have gone out to leave the Mezger Nafsho, you know, this incarcerating agony that he's living with, from the Torah and the Yisurim of suffering in the Teva. But Lo Yatza, he doesn't go out. He remains in the Teva, feeding the animals, etc., etc. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the magic word, Tzei Ben HaTeva. Why? Because that's what Derech Eretz requires. And this is again above and beyond human rational logic. According to human logic, if the land is dry, go out of the Teva. What's the problem? No. In the Torah's Derech Eretz, there's a different law. There's a different rule. And that rule requires that you wait until Hashem gives you the green light and tells you, go out of the Teva. And it's unbelievable. Where else do we find such a thing? The Tanchuma tells us that you know who derived a principle of Kevan Shenichnas Bershus Lo Yotze El Bershus from Noach? Who derived it from Noach later on in history? Hananya Mishal and everyone? Azariah. Just don't forget that. And they were. What happened was they were thrown into a burning furnace, and it's only when Amalehem Tzulachem, when Nebuchadnezzar told them go out, then they were allowed to go out. Why didn't they go out before? Ain't on a yotzim el b'rishus hamelech. We're not going to go out until the king allows us to go out. Why? B'rishuso hushlachnu. He gave the word to throw us in, cast us into the burning furnace. And we're not going to go out until he tells us to go out. Mi lamdu? Who is their teacher? Who are they imitating? None other than Noach. Because Noach didn't leave the Teva until Hashem commanded him to leave the Teva. And Rav Chaim Shulevitz says, wait a minute. Every minute that Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah remained in the Kivshan HaEsh was a ness. And you didn't know from one minute to the next whether they would survive. You have to give up your life for Derech Eretz just because you're waiting for that no good king, right, to tell you to go out. But the answer is, says Reb Chaim, and this is not for us today, but that's a longer discussion, that Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah already knew that Hashem would protect them. And the proof is that that Hashem put them into a situation where they couldn't leave the Kivshan HaEsh without violating Derech Eretz until they got the Rishus from the king. And therefore they knew there was a Sima Min HaShamayim that Hashem would definitely save them. So it wasn't a matter of Pikuach Nefesh. And again, Reb Chaim Shulevitz is going to bring another proof from Yosef in the case of Eishes Potiphar, Vayazov Bigdo, Biyodo, Vayonas, Vayetze Achutza, says the Ramban, Lichvod Gvirto, Lo Rotza, Lo Tzia, Miyodo, Vakoach Godol. Yosef was stronger than Eishes Potiphar. He could have pulled out his garment from her hand. Instead, he leaves the garment in her hand and runs out. Imagine. Why? The answer is because that's what Derech Eretz requires. Not to insult her by having her hold on to the garment and then pull the garment out of her hands. And that was a situation in which Yosef left the garment in her hands rather than embarrass her because of that midah of Derech Eretz. Again, who's he being mechabed? He's being mechabed a woman who wants to destroy him from two worlds, from this world and the next world. But nevertheless, this Derech Eretz. And Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to accept upon himself to be the leader and the savior of Klal Yisrael because this Aaron is 3 years older than him. It's not Derech Eretz that you skip over the older brother. This is the significance and the centrality of Derech Eretz. This is again the Derech Eretz that we learn from Torah. And again, to summarize, Noach was Motzei Chen B'nei Hashem, and that's why he was spared. And how did he achieve this Metzius Chen B'nei Hashem? In two methods, in two ways. Number one, through Derech Eretz and Anova. Number two, through Torah. And what we discussed at the beginning was that Noach was Moser Nefesh, and he had to bring all of his Mesiris Nefesh, all of his giving, for the sake of the creatures, and that's what made him into an Oev Esavriel. So Yiratzo, we should be zochen to learn all of these ethical principles from not only Parshas Noach and from Rav Chaim Shulevitz, but from all of the Torah, and we should fulfill them. And Derech Eretz Kodmo LeTorah, Mirtz Hashem, be zochen both to Derech Eretz and to Torah. And again, thank you so much for joining me this morning for Parshas Noach.
Right.
Thank you so much.